church, lift him up this morning.
So when I'll fight on my knees, when my head's lifted high, oh God, the battle belongs to you. Every fear I lay at your feet, and I'll sing through the night, oh God, the battle belongs to you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah, what a day that'll be.
Oh Lord, my God, when I'm in awesome wonder, consider all the worlds I entail. I see the
my soul, my Savior.
the name of the Lord this morning.
Something isn't adding up. This wild exchange you offer us. I gave my worst, you gave your love. Seems hard to believe. You're telling me you chose the cross. You're telling me I'm worth that much. That's the measure of your love. How else would I see? But complete, deep, sold out, sincerely abandoned. I'm complete, freely, hands to the ceiling in heaven. My one life and death. Can't get over it. Kind of self-control is this? You had angels at your fingertips, but on the cross you remain. I can't repay that kind of love, but I can praise with everything I've got. Since death had all power out, just like the grave. I'm complete, deep, so now sincerely abandoned. I'm complete, free, raised in the ceiling in heaven. My one life and death to match you. Each battle I fight, each crown that I hoard, consider it yours, Lord. Consider it yours, Lord. All the glory forever, the grave that you won, praise of the heavens.
Yeah.
Sing that chorus again.
Now I'm completely, deeply, sold out, sincerely abandoned. I'm completely, freely, hands to the ceiling enamored. Oh, my one life endeavor to match your surrender, to mirror. Abandoned. Oh, I surrender all.
Amen. Let's give God all the glory this morning.
There is a real jubilant feeling associated with being found. Amen. I have told y'all multiple times the story about me getting lost in Kentucky, but I thought about it. There's one part of that story that I kind of quit. I just don't talk about it as much as the getting lost part, because that's the funny part of it. But when I stood there on the side of the road in Kentucky, on that blacktop road, fescue about this high, hot as it could be, and I had my dog on the leash, and I had my buddy right there with me, and we had no clue where we were. No idea. The only thing we knew is what I just said. Fescue's about this high, and there's a blacktop road, and that's how to tell somebody where I was at. And we didn't know whether to go left or right. We didn't know anything. But when that F-250 came across that hill, rattle, rattle, rattling, and I realized that was that guy that was with me when I was hunting, and he slowed down in the night, and he said, "How in the world did you get over here?" I said, "I don't even care. I'm just so thankful that you have found me and delivered me from this very uncertain situation of what's going to go on." The question today, spiritually speaking, your soul, where is it found right now? Where is your soul found right now? And you've got two options. Is your soul found in Christ Jesus, or is it not? That's where we're at. Two choices, two options, in Christ Jesus or not. Paul, as we talked about 2 weeks ago in our previous verses, he ended by saying he longed to gain Christ. And today, where we pick up, he also longs to be found in Him, found in Christ. It's a longing, it's a desire, it's what he wanted more than anything, is to be found in Christ Jesus. So today, that's very important. If we're believers today, if we have genuine faith, we should also long to continually be found and remain and abide in Christ Jesus. Now, there's a lot of words ahead of us. But I'm going to give you the most important thing I want you to walk out of that door with right now. You are found in Christ Jesus in one way alone. One way. Genuine faith in His righteousness. There's no other way. So today, I don't have a bunch of lists of things for y'all to do. I don't have a bunch of things to come down on myself and you guys about what you're not doing. Today, the most important thing, nothing else matters this morning except for one thing, is your faith in Christ Jesus and His righteousness. It changes everything. Whether you're over here or over here, whether you're in Christ or out of Christ, it changes everything. It changes your standing before a holy God. It changes your confidence in how you live this life. It changes your hope, whether you're in good times or whether you're in suffering. It changes your destination. Your eternal life is determined by where you are in Christ Jesus or not. This is important. This message is important. Not that any are less important, but this is important. Today, if you want to be found in Christ, Paul shows us the only righteousness that can save us and give us eternal life. Spoiler alert, it's Christ Jesus' righteousness. And the only hope that can carry us all the way to resurrection is the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus promised us, in this life you will have trouble. Before we can understand where Paul is, I don't want to assume, that's gotten me in a lot of trouble in my life. Before we can understand where Paul is as he's writing these words, I think it's just good for us to go back and understand Paul before Paul when he was Saul. Because the same thing that happened to him there essentially happens to each and every one of us who have salvation this morning. But we're going to go back really quickly and see Christ found Paul while Paul, this is important, was still trusting in himself. While Saul was still trusting in Saul, in his own works, in his own righteousness. Acts 9 verses 1 through 6, we'll read it all together. Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, believers, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, I love this word, it represents Christians early on. So we're kind of like, we're people of the way. You know, we're Christians because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Okay. And I lost my place. I'm looking for the way. Oh, I didn't make it very far. Both men and women, it's no discrimination, that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem as he was traveling. And it happened. I love when it happens. That he was approaching Damascus and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. Who is the light characteristic of? Isn't Jesus the light? Okay. Suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him and he fell to the ground. He prostrated and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And Jesus said, I am Jesus. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But get up, enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do. Well, that's an encounter with the Lord. Each and every one of us have to have an encounter with the Lord. Paul thought, or Saul, as we were reading, I hope that's not confusing to you guys, same person, S and a P, okay? Before Christ, Saul, after Christ, Paul. Paul thought he had already found righteousness. He's confident. I'm so righteous. I'm such a man of God that I'm going to gather to imprison anybody who believes in this Jesus Christ. Look at me. Look at my works. Look at how much I'm doing. Paul, like some of you may be in here today, I don't know, he was trusting in his own righteousness. Now, once Saul became Paul after his encounter with Jesus Christ and experienced his grace and his mercy and he believed in him and he put his faith in him, two weeks ago, Paul described how much he thought of this self-driven righteousness. We're going to read it together because it's great. Philippians 3, 4 through 6 says, although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, even if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, as the law of Pharisee, as the zeal of persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. Look at what I've done. Look at my works. Look at my self-righteousness. Until Christ intervened, he was trusting in that self-righteousness. That's where he was at. He was in that camp. But remember, there's only two camps. There's being found in Christ and then everything else. He was over here in his self-righteousness. He was not trusting Christ. He was condemned before God. Today, if you're not trusting Christ, if your faith is not in Christ, you sat in this church condemned before God, guilty. But it don't have to be that way. It's not. That's not something to get mad about. Well, why am I condemned before God? Well, that's God's provided a way. I don't know. Let me ask you, why are you still standing condemned before God? I don't know. Have faith in Jesus. Come on, let's go. Let's get on the boat. Let's get ready to follow Him. Let's experience the life that He's given us. But God gave Paul grace. But God gave Philip grace. But God gave grace. I love that. I never want to forget about the grace of God. Let's read about it together, Acts 9:15. But the Lord said to him, the Lord said to Saul, Paul, or go, no, sorry, wrong person. Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. So he sends a message to Paul about his grace, about what he's going to do even though he didn't deserve it. He's a chosen instrument of mine, and I'm going to use him for my glory. I'm going to save him. I'm going to change him. I'm going to give him a new name, and I'm going to use him. And boy, did he. We're reading about it today. This is part of how God used him. Paul's confidence in himself collapsed. Our confidence in ourselves needs to collapse. I know the world teaches, I get it, and the sentiment is good. You know, we need to have confidence in ourselves. You need to really believe in yourself. And I get that. That sounds good. You need to be confident in what you're going to do. I mean, Andrew fixes cars all day. If he's going to fix my car, guess what? I want Andrew to have some confidence. Make the sensors do what they're supposed to do so I don't get the alerts every time. That's great. Have confidence in that. But when it comes to our spirit, when it comes to our soul, we are not to have confidence in ourselves. Our confidence should be in Christ alone. Saul's trust shifted entirely to Jesus Christ. Not, I'm going to move a few dollars over here. No, take the full sum and we're going to put it over here. On a freezing Sunday morning in 1850, a blizzard forced a miserable 15-year-old boy into a very small chapel on the side of the road. The regular pastor of this chapel had been snowed in. He could not make it there. So one of the lay ministers in that chapel got up and broke the word of God that morning, and that 15-year-old boy was in there. And he looked at that teen boy, and he kept shouting, "Young man, look to Jesus Christ. Look, look, look." In that exact moment, the boy cast a simple look of faith to Jesus Christ and was radically saved. That 15-year-old boy, his name was Charles Spurgeon. And from that moment, he became found in Christ. He has led a powerful ministry for Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. But it all started that one day when he cast his faith upon Jesus Christ, when he looked upon him for the source of salvation. And look what God did through him. Salvation begins the moment you stop looking at yourself, at your own righteousness, and you look to Jesus Christ. So the question I ask you, has Christ shown you that your self-righteousness is insufficient? You have to be made aware of that. You may be the absolute best person in here. I'm not, 100%. I mean, I'm looking around at some people that are doing a lot better than I am. You may be that person. You may be so moral. Your attendance record here may be perfect. Your giving may be perfect. You may take dinner to everybody. You may be doing all these things, good things. But are you trusting in your self-righteousness, or are you trusting in the righteousness of Jesus Christ? It's what it comes down to. And if you're trusting in yourself like Saul was that day, it's time to stop. You cannot be found in Christ until you stop trusting in yourself, is why I'm saying that. Let's think about that for a second. A visual. Should Christ share his throne with us? Isn't that kind of what we're saying? But Jesus, let me get up there too, because remember all the things that I've done. That ain't it. Let's let him sit on the throne. And we'll bow down in front of it and say, holy, holy, holy. I think that's a much better posture. You can be deeply religious and still not be found in Christ. Okay, now, maybe that was a sermon on its own. Now we're ready for verse 9, which is where we're supposed to be starting today, because Paul tells us exactly where he no longer wants to be found and exactly where he longs to be found. Only faith in Christ receives the righteousness of Christ. Can I say it again? You ready? Only faith in Christ receives the righteousness of Christ. One way. Again, we're coming back to that point. Verse 9, and may be found in him. There it is. There's our theme for today. And may be found in him. And then here's the qualifier. Not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, from works, but that which is through faith in Christ. Not through works. Through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. So where does righteousness come from? True righteousness. Where does it come from? One place. It's got one source. God alone. I don't have any. Not real righteousness. I got a question. To start this one, if your righteousness had to be measured today, if I had a bowl up here and I'm like, everybody come on, one at a time, I want you to pour your righteousness in my bowl and we're going to weigh it out and we're going to see if it's going to be enough. Does anyone in here believe you have enough self-generated righteousness that would be enough? Good, because you do not. You do not, and me first. I mean, I'd be pouring drips, but did you bring any? Yeah, there's a drop right there in the very bottom. But our flesh tempts us to earn righteousness through works. People want to do that. They want to be part. They want to earn and show that we've done something. God, I've done something. Look at me. I've done it. But righteousness is not... Let me make sure I say this right, because this is important. Righteousness is not achieved. It's received. God alone can give it to us. Jesus alone did it. He was alone righteous. None of us. But it's not a sad point. This is beautiful that God would give us this as a gift when we didn't deserve it. You see the beauty of it? It's not time to be sad. Y'all ought to be grinning. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm thankful. Look at the difference between the righteousnesses. He uses that word In both cases. But look at the difference. Not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law. So what is that? Self-made righteousness. He says, not having that. Not having that. Actually, how did he define or describe that self-made righteousness that he was so proud of at one time? Dung. There's a picture for you. Rubbish is what he says. All right, so here's the other righteousness, the true righteousness through faith in Christ, the righteousness which come from God on the basis of faith. So this is Jesus Christ's righteousness alone. It's his perfect obedience. It's his sinless life. It's his finished work credited to the believer in him through faith. And that's the righteousness I want. That's the righteousness I have, as a matter of fact. Not boasting about that. That's credited to God, but I got it because my faith's in Jesus Christ this morning. Can I testify? Amen. It's a God-given righteousness. This is a legal declaration, not a moral improvement, not works, not getting better. It's God determining it and giving it to you. A picture of genuine faith could look like this. Everybody knows what a courtroom looks like. Let's say you're on the defense. You're the one being convicted. I don't know the terms. You're the one being convicted. And you say, they're like, okay, give an account. Tell us all the things that you have done that show that you should not be convicted today. And you go up there and you tell all the things that you've done, all the good things, and the judge goes, that ain't good. Now let me hear all the things that you have done that condemns you. And you go up there and say all those things, and the judge is just going, man, this ain't good. But if you're in Christ, before that verdict is given, Jesus says, I just got one word. This one's with me. And lays a document up there. He's got my righteousness. Everything else is nullified. His faith is in me. He's got my righteousness. I've poured my blood over him. He is forgiven. He is my child. Innocent. But there's no other way but through him. He's the only one that could go up there and lay that document down. Because he's the only one that was righteous. So where are you at? Where would you stand today if you were down there after you gave those accounts? Is Jesus there for you or is he not? It's only through faith. Only through faith can you hear the verdict, not guilty. So are you trusting in what you've done or what Christ has done? Your standing before God depends entirely on Christ's righteousness being credited to you, nothing done by your flesh. For the non-believer in here today, I beg you to place your faith in Jesus Christ this morning alone. Let him justify you. For the believer in here, like for me, I've got to remember that I've got to pursue holiness through the rest that Christ has given me and not slip back over into, well, Philip's got to do this, Philip's got to do this, Philip's got to do this. I've got to do whatever the Holy Spirit empowers me to do, because whatever the Holy Spirit empowers me to do is the only thing that's going to be holy. And that's what I've got to have rest in, that God will do that work. Being found in Christ does not end with a verdict. It begins with a relationship. Being found in Christ gives us his life, the life of Jesus Christ. Let's read 10 and 11 together. That I may know him, so if you're found in him through faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. You may be asking this morning, I'm following you so far, I hear the faith piece, but what does it actually look like to live a life in Christ after I have placed my faith in him? I'm glad you asked that. I think many wonder this. Many wonder, what is life going to be like after I follow Jesus? What's that relationship? Saving faith unites us to Christ in his life, because he's still alive, right? I think I'm correct on that. In his suffering, and in his resurrection. But there's a word here that's very important that we've got to... I've tried to get away from giving y'all Greek definitions and stuff, but I got to. Y'all just bear with me, because we need to know this one. It's to know. That's what's before all these, that I may know him. We need to know what that means, because it's a wider sweep than our English word know, K-N-O-W. To know Christ is not just to understand facts about him. To not know individual bits of information. That's not it. That's way south of what Paul is writing to us, to know Christ. This word in the Greek is gnosko. It's to experience him. To know is to experience. To know is to walk with him. To know is to share life with him. That's very different than, Jesus was born of a virgin. That's great. You need to know that. But you need to know, to share, to have a relationship, to walk with Christ. That's what he's talking about here. Knowledge here is not just the possession of information, but the exercise or the living out of the information. The information has legs, if you will. Three things Paul longs to know. Why? Because he's found in Christ. To know him, this is a relationship. This is an experiential knowledge. The power of his resurrection. This is the new Christ-empowered life now. Remember, he talks about the new creation. This is the new creation that we are after we're transformed, after we have faith in Jesus Christ. And the fellowship of his sufferings, this is sharing in the mission of Jesus Christ and the costs that are associated with the mission. Through faith, we receive not only Christ's righteousness, but Christ himself and a life with him, an empowered life with him. I want to just, because this is heavy on me right here, because in the South, I think we're just in a position to really mess up here and go, I know about Jesus, I'm a Christian. You know about Jesus? I don't think that's what has placing your faith in Jesus. I think that's just having some sort of knowledge of some sort. Because if we think about when we have genuine faith, we have in Christ, we have this relationship, this is going to get a little different. Because I think I can safely say that marriage paints a very good picture of having a deep experiential relationship with another person. Can y'all agree with that right now? If we stopped and y'all said, okay, get Bethany up here on the front. Let's bring her up front and let's see if she really knows about Philip. I'm nervous already. Like, I don't want y'all to start asking her questions. Why? She truly knows me. She probably knows more about me than I know about myself at this point. Why? Because she studied a book of Philip since we've been together? No. We live life together. We experience all these things, so she understands how I think, how I feel, how I'm going to react. If it's my flesh, how I'm going to react if it's the Holy Spirit. Those are very different things. Today, really think about it. Do you know about Christ? Or do you have this type of relationship with Christ that I'm talking about that is shown like a marriage? Did your faith in him lead you to want to spend time with him in his word? Does your faith in him lead you to want to talk to him through the day? Start the day with him. I love you. Thank you for another day. Does your faith lead you to, I've experienced the goodness of Jesus Christ, and man, I've got to go tell somebody else about it. I've got to go tell him about the good things that he's done in my life. I've got to go tell him about, if you know him, if you truly place your faith in him, you can have life today and have life eternal. These are different things. And what I just want to call you to, if that's not you, it's just time to think about it. I can't see in your spirit and in your heart and know where you are. But what I want, what I'm compelling you to do is go deep today. And I want you to truly understand, have you truly placed your faith in Jesus Christ so that you can be found in him? Or are you just acknowledging that he existed and he was a really good dude that did some awesome things? Those are different. I call you to a relationship with him through faith. Otherwise, one day, you're going to be real disappointed. Can you imagine hearing that? Thinking that you knew Christ, but you didn't. And hearing, depart from me, I never knew you. I don't want anybody to hear that. Is that bad? Being found in Christ through faith alone reshapes our desires, it reshapes our endurance, it reshapes our hope. We need to be, if we truly have faith in him, we need to be found pursuing Christ daily in his word, learning more about him, learning what he's called us to do. We need to be spending more time in Him, talking to Him. We need to be following the leading of the Holy Spirit, because that's the awesome part. All this stuff that we do, anything good that you do after you have faith in Christ, you can't even take credit for it. You realize that? But that's awesome, because the only thing good that I do is generated by the Holy Spirit that's living inside of me. But praise God for that, because guess what? If you take the Holy Spirit out, you get Philip back. And guess what good you get then? Very little. Follow it. The Holy Spirit is leading each and every one of us who believe all day long. Learn to follow Him. Without faith in Christ, you may know about Him, but you cannot truly know Him like Paul is describing here. But today, you can through faith. Through faith. To be found in Christ is to be united with Him in both His suffering now and His glory later. All right. I'm almost done. I'm going to give you three short, not even complete sentences. I don't know what you call these, participles? I'm not sure. And I want to see if we can say them together. I don't usually do this, but these are really important. The first one is by grace alone. Try it. By grace alone. Okay, here's the first one. Number two, through faith alone. Last one, in Christ alone. In Christ alone. So together what we have is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone is how we can be found in Jesus Christ. Amen. One day your life will be examined by an unbiased, holy judge. Where will you be found when that examination occurs? Will you be found? Again, there's two choices. In Christ or not. I pray that Jesus will enable every person that is over here not in Christ to come over here and be found in Christ this morning. So that's my prayer for non-believers. But as believers, one practical thing that I think will give us a lot of peace that we can take out of here, if you're a believer, if you're in Christ, is we've got to fight the temptation. I have to fight. I wrote this for me. I have to fight the temptation of going back and trying to start earning my own righteousness and proving my own righteousness again. But rather, remember, Philip, Jesus has already done that. Philip, you can't improve on what Jesus has already done. Continue to love Him. Continue to know Him. Follow His Holy Spirit and have peace. Do y'all want peace this morning? I do. And I think that's how we can do it, is remembering His righteousness and just follow Him as He leads us and have trust in that. Jeffrey, you and the team can come up. On the last day, you'll be found somewhere. The last day could be today. You'll be found somewhere. And when everything else is stripped away, only one question will remain. Are you found in Christ? Because you placed your faith in Him alone. Consider that question, and it'll tell you how you need to respond today.